not generally in public. Now, tell me, now this book, now I must admit that I'm not one of these self-help guys. I don't really get into that, but I've really been enjoying your book. And then I have found my own little personal tragedies in your book. And I thought that that was rather amusing. Now, describe for people who are married who now that's the other part about this book. This book isn't just about single people. It also has a lot of information in there about marriages and what makes a good marriage and what doesn't make a good marriage, correct?
That's right. And a lot of married people have taken the book home and are calling me, telling me I'm their hero, that their marriage has improved all of a sudden.
Well, I found some very interesting parts about that. Now, there's this, and we're going to get into a lot of what you're saying. We're going to have to take a break in about 2 minutes, but we're going to get into a lot of what you wrote. Now, let's start with the married people first. Okay. One of the things that I found fascinating about your book was you were talking about both the cases of women and the cases of men who do not feel sexually satisfied in their relationships, who are married.
Yeah, that's right. The men all say they're not getting enough sex, and the women all say they're providing too much sex. And there's a huge disconnect.
There's a huge disconnect. But there are also women who the men don't touch them.
Yes.
I found that to be very interesting, but also fairly true, because I know some women who are married who complain about this very thing all the time.
Yeah.
And what can people do in that situation?
Yeah, now, of course, I guess it just happens with, people taking each other for granted through the years. But the people that I've talked to that took the book home, it sparked a dialogue. And I think communication is really what it's all about. People stop talking. They stop telling each other what they want or what they need or why they're dissatisfied. And I think the book gives them an excuse to talk about that.
Now, I think that I always call them the lucky people, right? The people who, because I was formerly married, the people who were able to marry once and stay with their partners for the rest of their lives. What is that percentage of people?
I think it's pretty small. I'm 60. I'm divorced. Was married 28 years. Been divorced 8 years. Had a girlfriend for 6 years. But, guys over 50, we don't know anybody that hadn't been. We don't know very many people that are still married to their sweetheart.
Yeah, I find that part is amazing, where a couple of generations ago, it was the exact opposite.
Yeah, and I would say, you asked the number, I would say it's anecdotal, I think, but 10%.
10%. Wow, it's an amazing statistic. Amazing. So it was about 10%. Now, the other two numbers that I found very interesting are the 20% numbers. And folks, this is what I found really fascinating. Ron has figured out, and we're going to go to your methodology and how you came to this. I know you interviewed people. But Ron has figured out that 20% of women are what he calls, the never have enough sex women?
They're the holy grail. They're what every man's looking for, and they need sex, not just want it. It's an important distinction.
And then there's only 20% of men who you call keepers. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
So there's, and when you define as keepers, so 80% of men, you call them chum, right? Like going fishing with bad bait.
Well, of course, they don't just fall off a cliff. From the 20%, they get less and less keepers, you know.
Oh, I see.
So they're not.
It's not like 20% and 80. It's like 20% are good, and then, another 5% are almost good, and another 10% are almost as good as almost good, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for the women, I say that 20% of them are, the holy grail, what every man's looking for. But most women are about in the middle. They're at the 50th percentile,
mm-hmm.
and of course they're satisfying somebody. And then when you get to the bottom of that, to the bottom 20%, those women don't want sex at all. They just don't care about sex.
Yeah, I know they're out there. All right, I got to take a quick break. I want you to hold on the line if you can with us. We are talking to Ron Sturgeon, who's put out this book called Men Are Pigs, and That's a Good Thing. And he talks about sexuality and relationships between men and women. Some very interesting stuff in here, some great quotes. Some of these quotes had me laughing hysterically. Some of them had me freaking out because they are way too true. And I'm going to pull up one of them here. The true man wants two things, danger and play. For that reason, he wants woman as the most dangerous plaything. That's philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, right? Is that Nietzsche?
Yes.
Nietzsche, okay. There was another one, though. Woody Allen, who probably isn't someone to quote this week. Sex alleviates tension, love causes it. And then Jerry Seinfeld, I like this one too. There's very little advice in men's magazine because men don't think there's a lot they don't know. Women do. Women want to learn. Men think I know what I'm doing. Just show me somebody naked. And I can't read comedian Carrie Snow's comment but as to why God is a man, but it's very funny. We'll be right back with a little more. This is very interesting stuff, folks. Stick around. And if you have some questions for Ron, feel free. We'll be right back.
And this is what's cooking at BK's. Honey glazed ham dinner for $9.95. How about some scrod Diablo for $12.95. Chicken broccoli penne for $9.95. Pancakes and chowder for $8.95. 12-ounce prime rib for $18.95. How about a 16-ounce prime rib for $21.95. That's what's cooking Friday through Sundays at BK's this week in the Industrial Park on Airport Road. And don't forget, check out our spacious function halls.
BK's Tavern, offering quality service, luncheon specials, and always a great place to kick back. Enjoy our widescreen TVs, eat, drink, and relax.
Weekend specials, again, only available Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Cannot be combined with any other offers.
WSAR invites you to experience the excitement of high school basketball in the South Coast.
And the Durfee Hilltoppers win in convincing fashion.
Where we feature some of the top teams, top players, and top programs battling it out for your ears.
Diamond has dominated this game bell to bell.
From the Durfee Hilltoppers to the Diamond Bengals to the Connolly Cougars to the Somerset Raiders to the Case Cardinals and more.
High school basketball action brought to you by Standard Pharmacy, your friendly local neighborhood pharmacy. Spindle City Auto Glass, Bedford Street, Fall River. Coastal Orthopedics. We guarantee you an appointment this week and maybe even today. Joe's Midas on Plymouth Avenue, Fall River. Locally owned and operated. Saber TV. Great prices and great service. Check them out at sabertv.com. Bay Coast Bank. Our new North Dartmouth branch is open. 299 State Road. BayCoastBank.com. Tom Pastor and Walsh Pharmacy, Rock Street, Fall River. The Fall River Industrial Park Association, creating jobs, technology, and the future of the region. The Fall River Municipal Credit Union, where they're always focused on you. Bristol Community College, how can you connect? Visit bristolcc.edu. TA Restaurant, one of the region's oldest and finest Azorean restaurants. And St. Anne's Credit Union, we're making a difference.
Listen to the WSAR Games of the Week, led by Alex Stylos, on the legendary 1480 WSAR.
Join us Tuesday the 11th as Bridgewater Raynham takes on Durfee, 7 o'clock tip-off.
The stories and the topics you won't hear anywhere else. They don't call it the most dangerous show on the South Coast for nothing. Underreported with Rick Oliveira every morning from 9 to 10 on 1480 WSAR. Smell that? Smells like danger.
Let's get dangerous.
This is the most dangerous show on the South Coast. Underreported with Rick Oliveira.
Panic depression is searching my soul. I know what I want, but I just don't know.
And we're back here on 1480 WSAI. You're listening to the Freakin' Friday Show. I'm Rick Oliveira. This is Underreported, and it's brought to you by Route 6 Auto Mall Kia. You get stuck in the snow, it's your fault. You're not driving a Kia. On the phone, I have Ron Sturgeon, who's written his book called Men Are Pigs, and That's a Good Thing. And I've been fascinated by it. It's not like it's a pro-man book, right, Ron? Hello, Ron, you still there? Okay, it's not like a pro-man book that that you just read it and it just dogs women and explains why they don't understand us. It's kind of very even balanced between the issues that both sexes face concerning sex, right?
I, although I'm quick to point out that it's probably from a, you know, there's a man's perspective there, and of course, mm-hmm. plenty of books with a women's perspective as well. But I tried to make it balanced so that everybody could benefit from reading it.
Well, one thing that that I found in your book, I'm divorced and having been single for the past seven years. Oh yeah, it'll be 7 years next Friday. You sit there and you go. A lot of what you're saying is true. This one part that strikes me as being the most true is this part about women like jerks. And I don't understand it because I've heard that right out of the mouths of many women. Explain why women are attracted to the quintessential jerk.
Well, and I hate to call them jerks. I like to what I say in the book is that women are attracted to bad boys. And I suppose that a bad boy at the worst end of that spectrum could be a jerk, but bad boys have a lot of confidence. Last night I was telling somebody, they asked me what the definition of a bad boy was, and I said, well, it's someone that's very confident that will use a $20 or $50 or $100 bill to get in a concert or through a concierge to get the best table in the restaurant, because they're kind of breaking the rules and they're confident. And of course, that confidence spills over into everything they do, including their sexuality.
Interesting. And now, aren't women, because you go through this whole thing about the keepers, which you call that 20% of men. Explain a keeper. Define a keeper.
Well, a keeper is something, it's what all the women are looking for. It's a guy with a really good job, that's thoughtful enough, but that's kind of a bad boy, too. Takes good care of her, makes her feel secure, but he is sweet enough, just sweet enough, that he's a keeper. And when you stack all those qualifications together, there's not as many out there as you might think.
Another thing I found fascinating about your book is you quantified this this terminology about beautiful women. And I found that to be the pretty girl syndrome. The true man, that was the quote with Nietzsche, with the true man wants this and that. And you tell the story about Glenn and Kara, and how these pretty girl syndromes are very hard to have relationships with women who suffer from this. And explain the PGS.
Yeah, PGS is pretty girl syndrome. And basically, it's a girl that's so beautiful or that her boobs are so big, she just thinks life is going to give her everything she wants and that you owe her everything. And that the world owes her everything. And by the way, there's pretty boy syndrome, too. There are boys out there like that. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think my afternoon drive guys are like that. But they're not pretty, but they have the other part.
Yeah. I get it.
I'm getting all the women in the station are giving me obscene gestures right now. But the pretty girl syndrome. Now, I have a funny thing. I'm reading your book, and I'm thinking, wow. I seem to be attracted to women who have half and half. They're like half of the pretty girl syndrome, but the other half is what you'd call a keeper. So what do you do in that situation?
Well, I think there are pretty girls, really, really pretty girls that are keepers, but not very many. Most of them are too stuck on themselves. I happen to think my girlfriend is that way. She's very Ooh. Beautiful, mm-hmm. but she's a good girl. She's a keeper. And I think that's pretty rare. My son, who's 42 and single, recently divorced, doesn't want a really pretty girl. He says, I'd rather have a girl that's just a little bit thick or not quite that beautiful because she'll be a lot better girlfriend. And I think that's true in a lot of cases.
It's fascinating and interesting. I don't know if I agree with any of it, but I do agree with some of your points about that. That one that made me laugh hysterically was the phone thing. And this happens all the time. Yeah, the texting, calling, all of a sudden their phones don't work. Right?
Yeah.
What did you call that?
I call it the selective phone option. And it's like when they don't want to take your call, they don't.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I was busy. The battery went dead. I was driving. I was working.
Yeah, and they've always texted before when they drove, but this time they couldn't text while they were driving.
I find that was very, those are the kinds of things in your book that I just start giggling and laughing, go, I know this one. I met her before. And but then there's also things about how the men tend to, again, and this is going back to the marriage and somebody's relationships, the men also are impervious at times to women's feelings.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, when I interviewed hundreds of people, but the men always said that the women were selfish, they had baggage, they had drama, they blew their phones up, and they were needy. And then when I talked to the women said that the men had baggage, they blew their phones up, they were needy, they were liars. They both say the same thing about each other.
That's amazing. And I don't think that, you know, I find it fascinating. I think if you came to Fall River and in our area and you did your own study, you'd find something slightly different. I'll give you a little what you might find. I'll get in trouble for this. But my friends and I have come to the conclusion that if we got tattoos from our ears all the way down the side of our bodies with letters on them, you know, it can say, like, you're an idiot in Japanese, that would be fine. That if we started doing, like, major drugs, a few more tattoos or piercings, and then if we quit our jobs and move in the basement with our moms, then we could get women. That's what we've come. That's our conclusion.
Well, I talk in the book about how there's a lot of women out there that are rehabbing their man. They got married when they were in their 20s, and they really did think it was all about love, and I'm not sure they even understood what love was, but they later figure out that having a job is kind of important.
Having drive, having goals?
Yeah.
Who needs those?
Yeah, and that the bad boy thing won't carry them for the rest of their life.
I want to thank you, Ron, for being with us. I am enjoying your book, and I have a number of people who are already requesting it from me. There is a lot of good stuff in here, folks. It may not get you a girlfriend or a boyfriend, but it will surely help you identify your own thought patterns as well as what you might encounter. So no advice for me with this problem with the women who's like, you know, the half and half. They're not the selfish part of the pretty girl syndrome. That part I don't have. But my God, there's a lot of other things in there that is true. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, I don't know. Of course, the keeper men want sex, but they're willing to provide what the woman wants as well, which is usually taking out the trash and being more sensitive and sending flowers and cards and whatever that means. But the keeper guys do want sex. And if the women aren't willing to provide the sex, they're not going to, in most cases, they're not going to get one of those really high-quality keeper guys.
Interesting. Thank you, Ron. Now, people can buy your book online. Tell people about how they can get your book.
Yeah, they can get it at Amazon.com or menorpigsbook.com. And we got 40,000 fans on Facebook, so that's not hard to find.
And you are the president of a bank. You're a businessman. Well, how did you make your name and fortune?
Well, this is my eighth book. The other seven were all business books. And
I see.
I tried to use the business principles in this book, but I was in the junkyard business my whole life.
Wow, that's a lot like dating. A lot of used parts out there. Thanks for being on the show, and maybe we'll bring you on again. I'm hoping this helps people prepare for Valentine's Day.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, bye. All right, we're going to return to regular programming when we get back after break. You listen to 1480 WSAR. This is the Freakin' Friday Show, and I hope that freaking helped you.
Get your view.